1 Timothy, book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. 1 Timothy 4, I know, I probably confused some people because those pictures on the screen say a study through Psalms. I know. I didn't have a chance to make one for 1 Timothy, so I'm using my Psalm one. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, specifically verse number 15. The book of 1 Timothy, it was written by the Apostle Paul in order to encourage and provide further instruction to his young son in the faith, Timothy, as he was ministering there at the church in Ephesus. Timothy was functioning as the pastor there in Ephesus, and so Paul wrote this letter to him to encourage him. And as we get here into chapter number 4, Paul is giving Timothy some pretty sound, practical advice on how to be a good minister. And so getting into our text here tonight, what we're going to see is that we're going to see Paul, again, is giving Timothy some very practical advice that I think is also a very timely lesson for us to learn, hear, and remember. And so let's see exactly what that lesson is as we read our text. And so if you would, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. As we read 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 15. Paul, again, he's writing to Timothy and he says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so this evening, almost said this morning, but here this evening, what's wrong? Did I read the wrong? I did. No wonder that didn't make any sense even to me. I'm reading that, I'm like, man, that's not the verse I remember studying, but I want to work with this, and this will be good. Amen. Thank you for the confused looks. That kind of cued me in something was wrong. I still want to read chapter 4, verse 15, but I thought it'd be beneficial for you to hear chapter 3, verse 15 as well to provide some very needed context as to what's going on here. So now that you're all ready to listen to what I have to say here, chapter 4, verse 15, now that I'm in the right spot, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now that sounds a lot more like what I was studying. Amen. So the title of the message here this evening is simply this, three words: study, apply, testify. Study, apply, testify. So may God bless the reading of His Word. As you're seated, we'll get into the message here this evening. So, have you ever been trying to go somewhere and taken a shortcut? How'd it work out? Mostly good. Yeah, absolutely. There are plenty of times when taking a shortcut is not a bad thing at all. In fact, sometimes it's a very time-saving opportunity. If there's a faster way to get somewhere, take it. I'm the kind of guy, when I'm on a road trip, point A, point B, straight line, I don't care if the road does this, straight line, as fast as possible. That's my goal. When I'm on a road trip, I don't like to spend time just driving if I don't have to. I want to be where I'm going, enjoy whatever it is I'm trying to do. I do look for shortcuts. I look for the shortest route possible. But again, shortcuts are not always the best. A shortcut, simply defined, is a deviation from the set path in order to more quickly or more easily achieve the end result. There are also inherent risks to taking shortcuts. You often open yourself up to more chances or greater chances of something going wrong. Typically, if the map is telling you to go around this way, there's a reason. They don't want you to go straight. Let me give you an example that is not driving related, but is car related. When you change the oil in your car, okay, you have your oil pan, you have your oil filter, and that's about it. It's a pretty simple thing to do to change oil in your car. You pop the plug on the drain pan, drain out the oil, pull off the filter, slap on a new filter, put your plug back in, go to the top of the car, pour in fresh oil. Simple. But did you know you can cut your time changing the oil almost in half and save money in the process if you just leave the filter on? If you don't change the filter out. Because think about it, you don't have to buy a new filter and you're using less oil, right? This is sound like a win-win. I'm liking the sound of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to drain my oil pan, get the most of it out, but I'll leave my filter alone. I won't change out my filter. Saving time and money. Win-win right there. Isn't that what Stephen Covey teaches in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Think win-win. Well, that's not what he was teaching. Because while, yes, you may save yourself a little bit of money by not buying oil filters, things will go well for a while until they don't, until all that bad oil you've not been filtering gets into your engine and, well, seizes it up. Instead of saving a little bit of money on not buying oil filters, now you're spending a ton of money on either a new engine or a new car. Now, from personal experience, not with the oil changing, but with a bad engine, just get a new car. Don't even bother with the engine. Just get a new car. Save yourself that headache. Let's see. You don't take shortcuts on a vehicle maintenance. While it might save you a little bit of time and money in the moment, in the long term, it's going to cost you a whole lot more. Preventative maintenance on your vehicle is important, and it is worth the expense of doing it. Now, let me give you another example. Let's say you are in college. You're taking a course. Typically, you get a syllabus, and in that syllabus, it tells you everything you need to know for that course. It tells you what your assignments will be, what your tests are going to be on, and what how much is going to be weighted for tests versus assignments. Now, you could dedicate the necessary time to attend all the classes. You could do all the homework assignments, and you could study diligently in order to do well on your exams. In fact, that's what you should do when you're taking a class. Or, again, I know this from personal experience, you could still attend all the classes, do just enough homework to maintain a pretty good GPA, and then the night before the exams, just cram, 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 so it's all fresh in your mind, and then take the exam, still do well on the exam, but then you forget just about everything you studied about half an hour later. Halfway through that day, you've already purged all that information. It didn't stick. Both ways will get you the credit of taking the course, but only one way will you actually get the benefit of learning whatever topic it was that you were studying. One way's the right way. One way was the shortcut. So while not all shortcuts are bad, there is something to be said about buckling down and putting in the work necessary to do something right, to do it the way it was designed to be done. And that is what Paul was wanting Timothy to know, because you can't do the Christian life halfway. You simply can't. You've got to be all in. There's no such thing as a Christian on the fence, because there is no fence. You're either in or you're not. You're either living for Christ or you're not living for Christ. And so you can't do the Christian life just halfway. Spiritual profit begins right off the bat with meaningful study, studying out the Word of God. I mentioned it a little bit even this morning. What good is an education if you never put forth the necessary effort to learn the material? What good is it? How does it help you? What good is a doctor, a lawyer, or a preacher for that matter, if they achieved just the bare minimum in order to obtain their title, but then soon forgot just about everything they learned in their courses? It wouldn't do them any good. There's a saying that I learned many, many years ago. It's horrible advice, by the way, but it's kind of funny too when I think about it. I'll share it with you because I can. If the minimum wasn't good enough, then it wouldn't be called the minimum now, would it? See, horrible advice to live by. But at the same time, how often do we fall into that trap? Well, I did the bare minimum. I got the passing grade. I did what I was supposed to do, but I didn't go any further beyond that. And we like to tell ourselves that, hey, that's okay. That's all right. You don't have to get the straight A's. You don't have to do all the extra stuff. As long as you're getting that minimum bar, you're fine. But that's not actually good. Unless the person taking those courses, like the doctor, lawyer, the preacher I just referenced, unless they took a serious approach to their studies, they would never be successful in their fields. They may start off okay, but they won't achieve success. The same truth applies even to the most humblest of Christians. The kind of Christian that takes great pride in their humility. The most humble Christian. I'm talking about the one who works hard while they're at work. They're not a slacker. They're putting in 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. They read their Bible and they pray daily and they are faithful in going to church. Not a single person is exempt from the fact that if you expect to learn something, you must first apply yourself to learning everything you can about it. Whether you are learning how to be a successful entrepreneur, a machinist, or doctor, whatever it is, you have to apply yourself to learn it, to study it. And this is also true if you want to be a good Christian, which, quite honestly, should be the desire of every Christian. Hopefully, everyone who is a Christian wants to be a good Christian. And so Paul, he instructed Timothy to meditate upon, to study these things. What things? There in verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things. But he didn't tell you what those things were. Well, look back with me in verse number 13. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So right there, he's telling young Timothy what it was specifically he was to pay attention to study, to learn, reading the Bible, the scriptures, exhortation, which would be preaching, or if you're not a preacher, talking to others about Christ. And the last one, to doctrine, which can be also defined as right teaching. Devote yourself to studying and learning those things. And so just like Timothy, we also need to give our attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Because if we don't, we cannot legitimately expect to ever have any progress in our Christian life. And also, there's a hedge of protection that comes about being diligent in your study. You are less likely to fall off into false doctrine if you are diligently studying the Word of God. One of the most prevalent false doctrines that we deal with in our circles is the doctrine of Calvinism, which essentially teaches that God elected, God decided from the beginning, he's only going to save this elect group of people. That's who God made them for, to be saved. But then God also made everybody else to die and go to hell. This doesn't jive with what I read in the Bible. But then why is it that many highly educated individuals, very intelligent people, fall into that, and they hook, line, and sinker, and they become super hyper-Calvinists? It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I'm not smart enough to understand it. Maybe that's it. That's it. Thanks. Thank you for that confidence, Brother Jerry. Hey, amen. Amen. Yep. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is when you are diligent in studying the Scriptures, you can protect yourself from someone who comes in. They have all these letters behind their name. They have all these credentials. They have this position. They make lots of money. They're highly successful by the world standards. And hey, let's say they're a religious person. They pastor a big, giant church somewhere. Lots of people follow them. They can come in and be the suavest of talkers and a great public speaker. But if they're preaching false doctrine, if you are staying diligent and studying the Word of God, you're going to pick up on that and be like, wait a minute. You may talk all fancy. You may talk smooth. And I like hearing what you're saying, like how you're saying it, but what you're saying is, my Bible doesn't say that. And that's why we need to be diligent in our studies, really, among other things, but that's one important reason. One commentary, they said this regarding the study of the Word of God. As food would not nourish without digestion, you don't get the benefits of food if you don't eat it, which assimilates the food to the substance of the body, so spiritual food, in order to benefit us, needs to be appropriated by prayerful meditation. So not only should we be reading our Bibles, we should be praying about it. God, what do you have for me here today? What do you want me to see, Lord, in my Bible reading this morning or this evening, whenever you're reading? What message do you have for me, God? And then as you're reading, you come across something. Speaking, I'm just pulling a verse out at random here, chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Lord, what are you talking about there? See, now you're starting to digest it. You're starting to think, Lord, I'm not just going to read through it. I'm going to actually think about it. What is the Word of God saying here? And then that is how we begin to digest and we assimilate the spiritual benefits of our Bible reading, because we start to seek a deeper understanding of what the Word of God is actually saying there. Spiritual profit requires consistent effort to apply what you've learned. You haven't learned something, you haven't truly learned something until you're able to teach it to someone else. I'm not saying you have to teach it to someone else to qualify having learned it, but you don't really know something to its core unless you can impart that knowledge onto someone else. Paul, he tells Timothy to give himself wholly, completely, to growing spiritually. The benefit of doing so is twofold. Number one, it is profitable to the Christian. And second, others will see the Lord's hand in your life and could seek to call upon the Lord for themselves. In other words, you could be a witness through simply your testimony of speaking of the things of God. This morning in discipleship class, we were talking actually about a bunch of different things, and this was actually one of the topics that came up, was simply just when we gather together, whether it's here in a church setting or just out in someone's home, but we're gathering with other fellow believers, what should the substance of our conversations really be about? Well, spiritual things, really, if we want to apply what the Bible teaches. But does that mean we can't talk about the football game? Does that mean we can't talk about our hobbies? Can't talk about the fish that we caught that was that big? Okay, fine, it was that big. No, absolutely not. We can talk about all these different things, but there should be something different about the conversations of a Christian than just the average Joe of a lost person. We should not shy away from speaking of biblical topics, of spiritual things. That shouldn't be awkward for us. And that should actually be something that's normal for us too. And that's how we encourage one another. Like, hey, let me tell you what God spoke to me in my Bible reading about. Those are encouraging conversations. Because, believe it or not, I can get encouraged by someone else sharing what they learned in their Bible reading. And there have been times where I'm like, wow, you know what? I never realized that before. Thank you for sharing that with me. And so we can build up and edify one another. God wants what is best for us. He truly does, and that is becoming more and more like Jesus every day. God blesses this progress by making your life profitable. Now, not necessarily financially, but more like your life adds value. That's how he blesses. Oftentimes, our world will associate blessing with finances. You are blessed if you have a lot of money. Well, that's how our world defines success. But I've yet to find anywhere in Scripture that defines success the same way. Is having a lot of money wrong? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not success, biblically speaking. Biblically speaking, success is that your life adds value. Paul exhorted Timothy to meditate upon and give himself wholly to studying and applying the Scriptures. because the benefit of doing so would be evident to all. So let's bring this truth to the here and now. Studying and applying the Bible results in tangible benefits that can be seen by others. Studying and applying the Bible, it results in tangible benefits that can actually be seen by other people. You'll actually be living the life of a Christian. You'll be becoming more like Christ, and people look on the outside looking in will be able to see the change in your life, will be able to see that you don't always do the things anymore like you used to. Hey, this person used to come out with us every Saturday night, but now they don't. Oh, yeah, they say they got to go to church in the morning, so they don't want to stay up late. Huh, that's weird. Who goes to church anymore? That's what the friends would be thinking. But then as time goes on, that one person, they don't go out on Saturday nights anymore. But now it's like, wow, you know, that every time I go over to that person's house, it's different. They used to have these posters on the wall, but I haven't seen those posters anymore. Or they used to have this kind of music just jamming in the background. It's, well, now it's, I think I heard something about Jesus. And it wasn't a bad reference in the music. And so, like, God will be changing our lives, conforming us into his image, and the people on the outside will take notice. But that doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't just happen. We need to be diligent in studying the Word of God in order to learn what Christ was like. How can you know what Jesus Christ would think on a subject if you don't go to the Word and see what he says on the subject? I would never have known that my wife's favorite dessert was not lemon if I hadn't actually talked to her about it. I think she actually brought it up to me, but I listened. To condense really that idea down even to just a simple phrase that would be easy to remember is really the title of our message here tonight. Study, apply, testify. Study and apply in order to testify. If you want to have a testimony that points people to Christ, that points people to God, study and then apply in order to testify. My goal is to encourage you to grow and to continue growing in your spiritual walk. It is so easy to grow lax and get out of the routine of not just reading, but studying your Bible and praying. I mean, Brother Matt's not here tonight. I can't use that as an example, but exercise. A few decades ago, That makes me sound older. A few decades ago, exercise was a way of life for me. Every day, I'm working out. I'm doing something to push my body physically. Do you know how hard it is to get back into the routine of exercise after you've been out of it for a long time? Amen. Thank you. The struggle's real, my people. But the point is, it gets hard. When you get out of studying your Bible, it gets hard to get back into it. Forget studying. If you get out of reading your Bible, it gets hard to get back into it in a meaningful way. So you need to be diligent. You need to persevere in those times. Study and apply in order to testify. Remember that we serve the one true God. Remember, it is who we're serving. He's the creator of the universe. He's the maker of all things. That truth alone makes it worth knowing him better and better every single day. Because of who he is, that should be our motivation, our driving factor for wanting to just, if we could, spend our entire life pouring into his word just so that we can learn a little bit more about him each and every day. He is worth it. I'd like to close with this quote. Am I a minister? Let me be a minister wholly and not spend my energies upon secondary concerns. What have I to do with party politics or vain amusements? Am I a Christian? Let me make my service of Jesus my occupation, my life work, my one pursuit. We must be in and in with Jesus, and then out and out for Jesus. Or else we shall make neither progress nor profit, and neither the church nor the world will feel that forceful influence which the Lord would have us exercise. That was a powerful quote when I read that. And so tonight, keep it kind of brief tonight, but tonight, just want to challenge you. Are you studying? And if you are you applying? And if you're doing both, are you then testifying with your life to other people? Are you pointing other people to Christ, if not only by your words, but also by how you're living your life? That will affect how you talk. That will affect what you think. That will affect what you allow your eyes to see. That will affect what you allow to be put on your body. Clothing, whatever else. How you view God is absolutely crucial. And the only way to learn is to get in the Bible. Study it out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, I want to thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you. I thank you for wanting to reveal yourself to us and teach us how we can have a relationship with you. So, Father, I pray that you help us. Help us to not grow weary. Help us to not be afraid to live for you. My prayer, Father, is that we redeem the time at hand in order to serve you with our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.